Rishalmi Tainas Daf Chav Vav. We're starting from the bottom, the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Hei Amid Beis. So the Mishnah discusses, we discussed before about Tainas that were organized because of Geshem or because of other Tzaras that we've had in the last two Mishnayas. Now we talk about certain days that were specifically set aside for communal Tainas because of multiple Tzaras that happened on those days. The Mishnah begins. Five things happened to our ancestors on Shiva Subatamas. Five on Tisha B'Av. And so it's not just one thing that happened, but there are five things that are mentioned. The Gemara doesn't explain each one in detail of what took place on these days that warranted to have a Tainus Sibur on that. Now, interesting, there are certain days that are not mentioned. They don't even talk about the days of Tzom Gedalia or Asar B'Teves, because that was specific things that happened. It's even mentioned in Torah specifically, but specific one issue that happened. Here, these are multiple things that happen, so the Mishnah decides to go into why are these multiple things that are mentioned here as well. So the Mishnah discusses as follows. What happened Shiva Subatamas? Shiva Subatamas Dabar Luchos. The Luchos are broken. The Moshe Rabbeinu came down and saw the Chet HaEgel, and he broke the luchos, shtabra luchos, batel tamid, and carbon tamid was batel. There was no more. It says a carbonate shal yisham kvasim lahakriv shabah here the matzah. They came and there was no more when the Yerushalayim was surrounded, and there was no sheep able to bring the carbon tamid. And then we'll explain a little bit more detail what exactly happened there. There was no ability to even bring a carbon tamid anymore because there was no more animals. Moshe says, Hufkayir, the city was, the walls of the city were broken. Hufkayir became, the cities became, they broke through the walls of the city. The Gemara is going to explain again here also what exactly what happened. So the Gemara is going to talk about it, that this happened in the Bayis Sheni. And the first Bayis was a different day, but we'll see why it's included specifically for this particular day. So Gemara said that they went and they broke through the day when they broke through the walls of Yerushalayim. This was before based Bayis Rishon. The other opinion says we'll see about Bayis Sheni, and we're going to see as to the Gemara which opinion the Gemara Mishnah is using. The Sarfa Apustamus is a Torah, and Apustamus burnt the Torah. He burnt the Torah, and he put a tzelem. Avodah Zarah in the Heichel. After he burnt the Torah, he also put an image of Avodah Zarah in the Mason Mikdash. And the who was the Apustamist? The Gemara is going to try to explain. There was Kabkibu Miavosam, that there was a Kabbalah. We don't know exactly who this was, what the circumstances were for how this happened, but the Rishonim had different opinions. Some have an opinion that we have in the Yacht Scroll brings down that some say that he was a Kotzemi'iri, that he was a Greek officer during the Greek time of the second base of Mikdash. He burnt the Torah. It was an Azara. The Torah was kept in the Azara. It was written by Ezra HaSefer, and that was when they used to always check that Sefer Torah against all the others, and that was there, and he burnt it. He burnt it. Another opinion was he burnt all the Sefer Torah that he found, and all the Sefer Torah that were available, was able to get his hands on, he burnt, that there should be no Torah in Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara said that these are different opinions as to who Apostamus was, and again, there are many different opinions here. And again, the Gemara discusses what was the Heichel, the Carbonator brings down, the Exumid Plei Moshe brings down, Pligim Gemara in Bayis Rishomari, Utsalam Menashe, or Bayis Sheni, Vitzalam Shalah Pustamus Hoya, one of the Sari Yevonim. So it's Machlokes in the Gemara, which the first, the second, and to which what Avodah Zarah was. And that's the five things that happened on Shiva Subatamas. What about on Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av, Nigzal of a Sinish Ligna Kamzarit, it was a Gzeira that they won't go into Eretz Yisrael. There was a time of the Maraglim, when they came and Klal Yisrael cried, and some Bechiyah Shekinim, you're going to cry in this day for other reasons, for reasons that you'll have to cry. That was on this day. Chavis and Bayis Rishon, Mashiach, the first and second Bayis destroyed us. Then look at the Beta, the city of Beta was destroyed, was conquered, Nechrosh Eir, and the city of Yishlayim was Nechrosh. Nekrash means it was completely plowed over, and the entire city shouldn't be recognizable where it was, that there was on a hill. They made it completely plowed over the entire area, that no one should be able to ever rebuild it to where it was before, because weren't able to have the Mokka and Mikdash. They didn't want to have the Mokka and Mikdash anymore. Beit HaOsa was a great city. That was the city of Bar Kokhba, and many Tanoim lived over there. And after the second base was destroyed 53 years later, it was wiped out, and all the people were killed from there. And the Gemara says that this was shackled. The Gemara Bavli says this was shackled to Chum Beit Day of Chum Beis HaMikdash. It was such a terrible day that the Gemara brings down that Nikol Beit the Irgadol says the Pnei Moshe. I used to have a Kamalof, and there were thousands and thousands of Jews. Now, Yemelech God, there was a king, Timuk Yisrael, and all the Kedil Chachamim were there, Melech HaMashiach, everybody was, it was an incredible city full of Jews and powerful Jews. They thought that Bar Kokhba was the Melech HaMashiach. And then it fell beyond HaSeinim, and Nergu, and everybody was killed, there was nobody left over, and the city was completely destroyed and wiped out, and in Yerushalayim itself was Nekrash, that they went and they plowed the city, Kasada Karusha, they plowed over the entire city, that it should be no remnants left of the of Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash. We must discuss these things. So let's go back to the order of events that took place. Hashem rested on HaSinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And was saying, he called to Moshe on the seventh day. Hashem called to Moshe, like, Moshe went up to Mount Sinai, went up to HaSinai. The seventh day, Moshe went up. It was the day after the Sarsa Dibros was mentioned, is when Moshe Rabbeinu went up. It was the first day of the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up, the first day of the counting of the 40 days that he was supposed to be there, 40 days and 40 nights. This was the first of the days that it was there, that it was counted. Moshe says, the Amalei Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going up for 40 days. I'll be in the mountain. He didn't come down. Moshe didn't come down. They realized Moshe died. The first 6 days until the midday of the day, in the 40th day, he hadn't come down yet. We have to make a god so we can go. We lost Moshe Rabbeinu. We have nobody else. So Moshe said, then Aaron went and made the Egel Azov. Go down, because the people have corrupted. They became corrupted. They made the Avodah Zarah. They made Egel Azov. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and broke the Luchos. So if you count the Cheshbon of the days, it comes out to be on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, is when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos because if they started a day earlier, they counted from they miscalculated the day, and Memela, they made this miscalculation, and because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu came down and broke the Luchos, which was on the 17th day. Pnei Kameda brings an Arichos, that the Sabbath Shisha, they thought it was Shisha Sivan Nisan Torah, but it was really the seventh day. They mistake the one day. Memela, therefore, he didn't come down on that last day, so it was Tessayin Thomas. So the next day, they went to make their day goes up. So Gemara said, the thing that happened after the Shema Kosh, he heard a call Machna B'Machama. It was a call of Amalamesha. He said, Yeshua, Adam Mashua, Salahanik, Sherel, Ashishim Riro. Someone in the future is going to be the leader of 600,000 people, which is you. Any Odeya, how can call God? You don't know the difference between different one sound and another sound? You think it's a sound of Machama? You should be smart enough, you should be wise enough that the, you should know the difference between kolos. This is not coming from a kol of Mechama, but it's coming from a kol of Avodah Zarah. He was like surprised that Yeshua, Enu de la Hafkin, says the Kabbalah, Moshe Yosef Chokma. He knew that with his Chokma, he knew the difference in the sounds. Kolonus Anos and Okashameyav. Yeshua didn't understand it, so he said he was disappointed in Yehuda, and you mean Yeshua, that he didn't understand the difference of the kolos that he understood. I hear a call of Ananos. I'm a Rabbi Yisrael. A call kilos of Avodah Zarah. What he meant to say is, I hear sound of singing praises to Avodah Zarah. That's what I hear. Kolanos, he hears music. They were singing. They were singing songs. Kolanos, I hear my Kolanos called Makaltz in the Akum. I hear the songs that they're singing in praise of the Avodah Zarah. So Gemara says, another Malach about Avodah Zarah, Mama Yibna Shemi Yasa. He said, Ein kol dor v'dor ein ba'unki akas mikachal egel. There's no generation, does not have an unka of punishment, some kind of punishment, which is a small amount, a Roman measure, Kabaneda says, that has anything to do with some punishment. It's such a terrible avera that Kadosh Baruch Hu spread out his punishment to Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. When they get punished, they get an extra little punishment for the Chetah Egel, which says Klal was still suffering from for this day. Says the Kabaneda, Ein Mechol Dor V'dor. Every time a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes Klal Yisrael for something they did, he adds on something for the Chet Egel. Or you could say each generation that you spread out the punishment over different generations. That it shouldn't be one time, it should be over different generations. It should be Unke, Mishkal Katan, in Roman, it's a small coin, like a eunuch is a small coin of in Roman. So Gemara is a Vaita. But he came down, he saw, they were going ahead, he saw the calf and the Egel Azov, and he saw the Makol dancing around it. He took that and he broke it. You see, from here, a person should not judge just on assuming, but only what he actually sees. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu already knew, heard the kolos. He understood what was going on. He already knew what was going on. He criticized Yeshua that he didn't know. But why did he not break it? Why did he break it now? Only when? Because even though you know, until you actually undoom this, don't go on just that you think you know. Wait till you actually see it with your own eyes, and then you really see it, and then you know that you saw them sitting directly. Then you can go ahead, and then you can don't just rely on other evidence. Rely on only what you see with your own two eyes, and that's what he was able to Gadafka to break it in front of his eyes, in front of them. This was the Gemara tells us that why Moshe Rabbeinu waited till that point. So the Gemara says the monk continues. What was Moshe's svara? Dar Rajma Kavachaima. Hashem didn't tell him to break it. He made a Kavachaima. My Baza Pekam Baza. He must use an individual mitzvah named Kol Bazoichabo and a lot of eat from it. A Torah said comes to Galut, but all the mitzvah are the Torah, which is everything, include Akad Kama. Surely you can't give it to of the Avodah Zarah. They don't deserve it. If an Ariel can't have the carbon Pesach, it's only one mitzvah. He didn't do Bris Milah, and yet he can't eat from the carbon Pesach. So Klal Yisrael just went ahead and violated everything. Avodah Zarah, surely they can't get the Torah. The whole Torah they can't get. Haz Kama V'Kama. He got angry, much of something close, and he threw down Lugavi Shabbat, broke him, Takas Ahur. And he broke it under the mountain that there should not be, the Klal Yisrael should not be Zoka. We're not Zoka to have any Torah. They should not have any Torah. They should not have any, this was the cheshbon that he made without Akash Baruch Hu telling him to do it. Now the question, did Akash Baruch Hu agree or not? So the Gemara says, that Akash Baruch Hu tells him, the Gemara says, Akash Baruch Hu told him, he's only you broke it. I'm going to lay my after the Luchos. He told Moshe Rabbeinu he should shatter, he break it. The Luchos that I wrote on it. I'm going to lay off a season about what you did. You did well, you broke it. In other words, you didn't tell them that what you did, he didn't write extra words in the Torah, but he's telling you that Moshe Rabbeinu, Akash Baruch was vindicating Moshe, that what you did, I was one who wrote it. It's my luchos. And you broke my luchos. But yet, Yashiko, you did the right thing. This was it was appropriate what you did. And therefore, Akash Baruch Hu was pleased with his action. Akash Baruch Hu was pleased with Moshe Rabbeinu did. Yafetir Kadman, Yisurah Katetz, extra word in the Pasuk, Lashon Yashar, to tell you that Kadosh Baruch Hu agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu that what he did was right, it's Kavachom. He didn't have to make a Kavachom. What he did was right, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to break it. So he broke it, he didn't have to go explain the whole thing of Kavachom, why he had to figure it out. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to break it, he broke it. He didn't have to do anything, there's no need for anything more to make any Kishbonos. So therefore, we have two different opinions. Did Hashem tell him to break it, or did he have to make a cheshbon in itself? Because if so, why would he have to make a cheshbon if Akash Baruch Hu told him not to go and do it? So Gemara says that therefore, it could be that Akash Baruch Hu told him, and Moshe Rabbeinu should have davened for save Klal Yisrael. But he didn't, and he broke it. Akash Baruch Hu did it on his own. This is what he did with that. Akash Baruch Hu agreed that it was the right thing to do. Not now to go ahead and daven for them would be inappropriate. Gemara Vayta. Locals were six tefachim long. They were three tefachim wide. Moshe Rabbeinu was holding two tefachim, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu defined, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was holding two tefachim. So Chaim Avinu was empty in the middle, was two tefachim in the space in the middle, because Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Because he saw also Maisa, when he saw what was going on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sought to grab the from Moshe Rabbeinu to take it away from them. They don't deserve it. Moshe is stronger, and he grabbed it from Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you praise Moshe, you're right, you're stronger. Your hand, what you took, you overpowered my hand, and you pulled it away from me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to pull it away from him. You're not, Kaiser doesn't deserve it. They pulled it away. But Moshe Rabbeinu pulled it back, and Moshe Rabbeinu won. So when I said, therefore, you did chizaka, you did the right thing. Ashlama Mashapko, that you went ahead, you used your stronger hand to go ahead and to pull it from me, and then take it and then break it, make a chama to break it, was the correct thing to do. Zakta Gemara. The advice is that if Moshe didn't pull it away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have just taken it back and brought it back to Shemayim. It would have never been broken. Look at what to fly away. Moshe grabbed it. He wouldn't let go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu grabbed onto it. When the Lukos were given to them and he saw Kai saw sinning, Lukos wanted to fly back to Shemayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. He held on to them. He fought. Held on to them so they could break it and show them that they broke it. They wouldn't realize if they was just taken back to Shemayim, they would not have known. Klaiso wouldn't have realized how terrible of an avera they did. Without seeing, at once, says the Kohen Ezer, Kerakol Avram Shekol Kankish Bo, Lach Sol Makarim, Tavei Lek Da'esh, they're going to go back and take, I mean, Kosh Baruch Hu showed him the Mabeya Shalei, he took it back in Shemayim. He was going to take back the Luchos, but Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to show Klai Yisrael how big of a terrible very they did, so he refused to let go, and he took it, and he didn't give it up. We learned from Nechemya, we learned from Nechemya Chesed, in the Lashon of the Braisa, that it says, Ksiv Atzmo, it says, the Torah itself, Akosh Atzmo, the writing itself flew away. The Luchos he kept in his hand, but the writing, the tablets themselves he was able to hold on to. But the words, they're the ones that flew away. They're the ones that flew back to Shemayim. Says the Kohen Eder, Ksav Atzmo, means it was engraved, it was made of black ink on the chukim. Therefore, the black ink, they went up, those letters from the black ink, they flew away. They were not, they went into the air, they went away. Zot Gemara, Lucas, what was the fact that they flew away made a very big difference. But Lukos itself waited 40 saw. Haksaw, he told them, the writing was carrying them. The writing was carrying the heavy weight. The saw is a very heavy thing, was carrying mem saw. So like, therefore, how much were you able to carry? Because the letters carried them. But once the letters flew away, Kavrag, it was so heavy, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hold on to the heavy tablets. When it fell and it broke. In other words, it wasn't that Moshe threw them down. It was too heavy for Moshe to hold because they were lifted up by the letters. And once the letters went out, it was just left with the Luchos, and Mela, he was not able wasn't able to hold on to it. So the Lord's Mitzvah Yikah, the Moshe Rabbeinu get angry. The Pshat is the Moshe Rabbeinu get angry. So he lost the, you get angry, you can't have the Ruach Hashem. You don't have the Ruach Hashem. So Mela, then you lose it, you don't have the Koyach. He lost the Koyach to be able to carry it. He didn't have any korach to hold on to it anymore. So therefore, it was too heavy of a weight. So that's what it says. Therefore, in its bad tumble, therefore it went and it scattered and it broke, and that was the end of the Luchos. So the Mishnah with Matal Tomei, the Tomei was discontinued. What happened to Tomei? What happened? So Gemara Avishim and Avishim Levi, Bein Malchus Yavin, it's the days of Malchus Yavin. And Tinochos went ahead and surrounded Yerushalayim, by a Sheni, and didn't let anything go through. There were no animals there to shecht. Mashash Lamashtei, Kubash Azadazad, the Yidden in the city would lower to the Greeks each day two boxes of gold. Imagine they would go ahead and they would bring up and carry up two sheep to be able to bring for the carbon. They would send down the coins from the treasury, and they would go, therefore, put in the two animals to bring up from the wall. They would go, they couldn't break the walls at first, so they came from the top of the wall, they brought down the coins, and they went and brought up the sheep. Now they had the carbon tamid. One time the Yidden went and lowered them, two boxes of coins. They sent them two goats instead. Now you can't use a goat for a carbon tamid, only a sheep. So they weren't able to use it. So there was, they didn't know what to do with them. So I said, "Shalom, Eli, Kosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, Kosh Baruch Hu." Their eyes, Moshe told them, "Shalom, Shalom." They found that they found two lambs in Lishkas Hatoloyim. Alosa Shahid, Rav Yehuda Abba. He testified in the Mishnah, "Al Tomid Shal Shaka Shakar Rabba Shos." They testified that they were able to bring the carbon Tomid only within the first 4 hours. They were able to bring up. So in other words, the Gemara tells us that they had that it was you had to bring up till Katzos, so you could bring it up only until the 4 hours of the day. Like we have this Zman Tefillah as well. It's only the 4 hours of the day. So the last time you could bring it up is the 4 hours of the day. So we see that they had to bring it up until noon. Why bring it up until Katzos? So we see from this Maisa that when they found the lambs, the Gemara said they were able to only bring it up the fourth hour. So you see as a Raya, and you can bring it up only until that time. They couldn't wait till later. They can't do it at the fifth or sixth hour till Katzos. You have to do it earlier. So mele, therefore, the Chayre, that'd be the last time you could bring up. So it's a shy that the Chachamim had, whether you could talk or bring it up, and even later, if you didn't get it the animal before, and you get it later, is it able to go bring it up? If you were an oinus before, you didn't have it, can you do that or not? So that's a big shayla. It's a major in the sugya, Mesachos Brachos, whether you could go ahead and rely on this Braisa as a riot to Rav Yehuda, or to Rav Yehuda Shita, and this the luck of the Rambam brings this down, whether you can go ahead and bring it up even later, the later time, then it would be acceptable, according to the Shita Chacham, you have to 4 hours, because you bring it up even later than that. So you see a Raya, that this would be an economy they brought up until 4 hours, otherwise they wouldn't have brought it up. Suffice it that you can't bring it up. Afterwards would be potentially a Raya, a possible Raya, to the Shita you can't bring up later, but there they all answer. Well, the Karanim and Rishonim answer how would that's not a riot to one or the other. The Gemara itself answers this kasha in Maseches Brachos. Okay, so the Gemara says that the even the days of Rome, similar thing happened as well. Not only in the time of the Greeks, even in the time of the Romans. The Romans had the same thing. That they by the second base of Shalom, they used to bring down two boxes of gold to the Romans. They brought up two gedar. They brought two kvasim to bring up. So the Gemara says, what happened? The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, one day they brought low two boxes of gold. They brought up two pigs. They brought up two chazerim. So really, the speaker gave them out. So they got up like halfway of the wall. One of the pigs dug its hooves into the wall. A kafetz me'eretz Yisrael abon parsa. And the pig sprang out of Eretz Yisrael. 40 parsoi, used the wall was able to jump 40 parsos away. At that time, Kali saw sins report to an end. That was the end, that was the simon, and from there came the batel, and the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. In other words, what happened over here says that pigs, they dug their feet and didn't want to be brought up, so they dug their feet into the wall, and then used it to spring away, and Gemara says was able to be separated. So Gemara says over there, Kabbalah brings down a medrash that it was separated from the earth, and it was like an earthquake, and the entire thing became separate and it devoured the Yerushalayim. Kabbalah saw Abam Parsa when the 40 parsos it just sank away, it became Kufsal Aretz, became almost like a powerful earthquake happened from the Chazer. It touched the wall, and because of that, it was everything was destroyed. Says the Karban Eda, that Kupas, what does he say? Some Kupas Eretz Yisrael may pass Inam Medina Eretz Yisrael Kupas may pass and beyond that, the Eretz Yisrael itself was through an earthquake separated into the Yam. So came 40 parsos. She came derech nofos medinas bazal. Like after an earthquake, the ground sink in. So it just all sank in, was destroyed. Someone says they see that this is where it was the continued because of this maisa and the second maisa mikdash caused that this was like resulted in this in a calamity that on the 17th day of Tammuz that these things happened. That the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and the Batal Charva Karav Abayas became destroyed because of the fact that it was this separation that the Abayas now lost its support and it was no longer Karban Tamei. The Karban Tamei was guaranteeing the survival of the Beis Hamikdash and now they didn't have that anymore and therefore it was lost. Batal Karav. So the Gemara said that's what happened on that day. So Gemara said this was the Braisa. Mishnah continues with Kair. Mifka says that the city was. The city walls were breached in the Shiva Shabbat Thomas. Ksibin the Pasik says, Pasik in Nach, The pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Shachodesh of Gaiyir, in the ninth month, fourth month of Tisha L'Chodesh, on the ninth day of the fourth month, the walls were breached. And now you say the 17th? The pasuk says the ninth of the month. So what are you saying the 17th? So the Gemara says, it's an error in calculations here in the Pesukim. It's a mistake. Moses says, what do you mean? What's the mistake? How did it say? Over the Pasuk, you calculate, it happened in the 11th year, in the first of the month, Hashem said, because it said Yerushalayim Hara, it was destroyed it. What's happened on the first of the month? Which month? In the first day of it, it wasn't burnt, it wasn't destroyed yet. In Tamayachad, we have one Elul, referring to Elul, you can say that even if a messenger came, left Yerushalayim, and came to Turin a day and a night, it would be impossible to be able to go destroy, to find out the Churban Beis HaMikdash would not have happened. It would happen way before. There's an error in calculations that a Pesukim, that are preserved in the Pesukim, and fell into the Pesukim a mistake. And then I was going to explain how this happened. It says, the Kamenei Kukol Cheshbonos Melkan, what does that mean? Where it says that because there's all the tsaros that happened, people lost track of the days. In other words, Kaisel themselves got confused with the dates because of all the tsaros they had, couldn't keep track of all the tsaros. So the Psukim wanted to mishtativ with the tsar of Kaisel, so they didn't, they kept the date, allowed the mistake in the Psukim to remain, because not to be parish from the tsaros of Klal Yisrael, that they lost track of the calendar because they thought it was the 90th day. Really, it was the 70th day. It wasn't the 9th day of Thomas. It was the 17th day. But because of all the tsaros and difficulties they had, they made a mistake in the cheshbon. The psukim don't want to change from what Klal Yisrael knew or Klal Yisrael adopted, because it would be. They wanted to go ahead and identify with the tzaros of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so Gemara says that couldn't have been at a different time. This is what Gemara says, kill the chashvish bakan, if the Torah, the pasuk indicates a mistake. So Gemara says, what's the explanation? Mashal, a king who's sitting and making cheshbonos, giving teboyamale, come tell him, Ishbara Bincha, your son was taken captive. Out of a shock, all his cheshbonos that he had was forgotten about. He got so sidetracked. Let's start this again, a new calculation. Let's start again, because now that I have a clear head, let's start again. That's one pshat. Because your son was taken away and was defiled. Let's make this a new thing. So again, it could be the way, it's not preserving a mistake, but rather just like the king is starting a new day, the king is now identifying that the tragedy started with the day that they told him that his son was captured, or his son was captured and defiled. That became the new, that the king, everything now goes from that day of the tzaros, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes from the day of the tzaros of Klal Yisrael, begins to reckon from the time of the tzaros, rather than when the event actually happened, because that could have been destroyed on the ninth day. But since Lamaisa, it was the day that Klal Yisrael began to suffer, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu identified with that suffering, let's start counting from that cheshbon. And therefore, it would be the same thing here as well. Same thing here as well. So Gemara said that this is where the mistake, so-called, comes in. Let's go back and make it from here, that it should be, it should come out to be, skakel became whatever happened in the past. The dates got confusing, and we go by the dates that people assumed that it would be. How could that be? How can you say the person making a mistake? It makes a mistake in the calculation when it goes the Malabah. You can say like I'm in the future. What do you mean? Coming to mind the things in the past that went. What about in the future? What does that mean? You're gonna say in the pasuk, Yirmiyahu made a mistake. When it comes out, he's saying things in the past, what date happened in the past. We're talking about what's gonna take place. He's talking about what's gonna be in the future. It's the Navi Yechezkel, Yirmiyahu is giving what's gonna happen. So if it's gonna happen, you can't say he made a mistake while it's in the future. That can't be. That can't be the pshat. Says the Kohen Eder. What does that mean? Is Kaka Zova? You saw Shagol Meirat Tzaros, but Lahabak Yadam Toibish Al Tzaros Shalak. Does a person get confused, make a mistake in calculations when he talks about something that's going to happen? Didn't happen yet. So what's Pshav? He knew the Kohen was going to happen. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, I have to explain what the Gemara means. Say, Bein Tegman Yom Tishul Kol Bein Tegman Yom Tishivaser. Now, what's the difference between the 2 days? It was 21 days from the time city walls were breached until the day was destroyed. There were 21 days, the 3 week period. So the Gemara says, so now we want to know, Mavuda, Simna, the Simon is, Makel Shoykar and Yeroya. I see the staff of an almond tree, I see. The Pasuk in Yemayo, he had a vision, he had a Nevuah of an almond staff that showed what's going to happen, that's going to become destroyed. Much like this almond, Motzias Nitzo, when it gives forth its blossom, Achu Gomi present until it goes ahead, and the fruit becomes edible. It was 21 days. So too, Miyom Shoklei, Achu Makavim Yisrim, and so too, when the time the walls were destroyed, the same thing, he saw the Nevuah from seeing an almond tree. And the idea was that the message was, like an almond tree from the time it begins to ripen, the leaves begin to come until it ripens fully, is 21 days. So too, I'm going to say that the 21 days will be from the time of the destruction of the, will come in until the end of the destruction will be a period of 21 days. That was the Nevuah. So maybe that's what he made a mistake. What it tells you the calculation was really 21 days is significant. That's what it is. The rest of the days are not significant. Well, important. As long as we have 21 days until Tisha B'Av. Therefore, we say the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed 21 days after the 9th of Tammuz, which is the 1st of Av. We know Beis Hamikdash wasn't destroyed the 1st of Av. So therefore, it is the 17th day. It is the 17th day. So when it says, Man Yama, Tisha L'Kodesh, when it says the 9th of month, Be'echa B'Avichav, then you have to come out to say 21 days that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed not on Tisha B'Av, but on Echad B'Av. Man Yama, Shiva, Zom, Tisha B'Av, Chereb. Now, if 21 days later, is the 9th of Av is Tisha B'Av. So that would be where we have the Akash bonus from, of where it would come out. The first of this, the 9th would be totally on the 21 days from when we start the count. When we start to count, Mar brings a brisa. All these different days of this. So Mar Avi is a Shivas Batamas. Shnishtabalukos about our tamim of Koyer. So our partner says Ha'irva. He can mesekel mehekel. So my Chamishi is a Tisha B'Av. The 15th. When the Navi says the 5th day, that's referring to Tisha B'Av. And that month, which is in the 5th month, so B'Kav Beis HaMikdash Rishonah, Soma Shvi, says the 7th month, Zesh Shlosh Mitzvos, the 3rd day of Tishrei, which is in the Nerek B'Gedaliah Ben Achikam, when the Navi, Gedaliah Ben Achikam, the leader of Klal Yisrael, the leader of Eretz Yisrael, was assassinated by other Yidden. So it must say that there was a terrible time. The Klal Yisrael made a fast on that day. They did it. Some Gedaliah was murdered. He was actually murdered on Rosh Hashanah, but they couldn't set up a fast day on Rosh Hashanah, because I'll tell us. So therefore, they put it off to the day after. That's why we have Tom Gedaliah the day after Rosh Hashanah. Because we can't set up a tainus on Rosh Hashanah itself. So we put it on to the 3rd day, which is the day that we consider. So I see the 10th day. That's the surrounded of Yerushalayim is when it happened. Asar B'Tevis. Kassid, the Pasuk says, T'va Hashem Alayim Hashan Hashti, Chalshiyah, Pasuk, Mefurish says in the 10th month, Kassiv L'Hashem, Yomazeh, says my Yomazeh, some above us Yerushalayim. The Torah says, Mefurish, and Pasuk Yecheskel, that they came on the Asar B'Tevis, the 10th day, was when it was, Yerushalayim was destroyed. So now we have the four fairs. Kodra B'Kiva, we understand what the days are very good. But what about Shema Yechani Oymer? Have a different shot. So, Masiris HaKamisha B'Tevis, that's the 5th day of Tevis. Yom Shabbat Shemul Galom, and the news came from God that Yerushalayim was destroyed. Hadiksiv, you stay Meshishanim Bastia Kamisha, Lakhodesh Kalasainu, by Eliah Polim Yerushalayim, to tell you, say that city was destroyed. If you say that Asar B'Tevis, a day to remember the destruction of Yerushalayim, so then how do we have the day? Because Shema Yechai, why was that Tishba man on the 5th of Tevis? You have different days. And you, they fasted on the actual day of the destruction. But Golias, Elishmun, and say to the 7th day, they didn't do Tishba, they did it on the day when they heard the news. They heard the news. Those in Yerushalayim heard it when it happened right away, was that they fasted on Tisha B'Av. But those later, who came later, and found out about it later, they fasted on the 5th of Teves. Because the days were different days, that's why we have different days. Because there was different times when they were aware of what had took place. And the Mela, therefore, the Chutzlar had a different day than we have in those in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mela said, therefore, the 5th of Teves would be the day that they commemorated, and the and not. Lemaisa, the so we see that the well, this would be a machlokas as to what the day would be, and we have a separation to explain why the different days. How did they know in their time? Or what did they do? What was the procedure in their days as far as what they commemorated? What was their? Well, it doesn't tell us what they did in those days. So Gemara says, "V'shem kedosh rishon akron." The eat darshin the first, and later, first darsh rishon. The eat turned the pasig, and one of the later tragedies that took place was in the breaking of the walls akron rishon. The first one, the last one was the one for the first that happened when they surrounded Yerushalayim. Gemara says, "V'ani darsh rishon," and I dash the other way around. The first is the first of Tammuz akron achrono, and the last one is a day when they actually destroyed it. And they and I prefer my words of Rebbe Akiva to follow that sugya, that signon. When we come out, actually, which days we actually fast, my seder is more in tune with the psukim, identified with that more of the fast of Teves in the seder of the Mishnah, not to change the seder the way Rebbe Akiva does it. And therefore, he disagrees with Rebbe Akiva in what the Seder Ayomos are. Stop over here.